You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Why should Christians have a sense of urgency in preaching the gospel? Learn more about our calling to evangelism in week 5 of our series, Forward.
All right, good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Now, if you happen to join us for the very first time, my name is Martin. I am not a pastor here. I'm one of the volunteer ministers. And we are currently down to a series we call Forward. Can everybody say that with me? Forward. And the goal of this series is for us to understand that as a disciple, if you consider yourself a disciple, we are called not just to sit here every Sunday, but to move forward. That means if you are a disciple, you're called to move forward in your spiritual walk, in your daily devotion, in purity and holiness, in preaching the gospel, in one-to-ones, in victory groups. We ought to move forward. And for the past few weeks, we've talked about the accounts of Peter. And last week, if you were here, Pastor Keane was preaching about the gospel, understanding the gospel. That is quite remarkable because the reason why you're here, the reason why we go to church is because someone preached the gospel to us. The reason why in the future, all of these empty seats will be filled, will be occupied, is because someone will be preaching the gospel to them. Now, in the same way that we've talked about understanding the gospel, and if you would want to understand what the gospel is the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just the cross. The gospel is not just the resurrection. If you talk about the gospel has a threefold message. That is the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take away one from the other and you have an empty gospel. The reason why the apostles are so passionate about preaching the gospel is because they saw their risen Lord. They saw Christ coming out from the grave. That's the reason why they were too passionate. They were so passionate in preaching the gospel. And today we'll be looking at that. It's the fifth installment. And we'll be looking at the life of the accounts of Peter, specifically in the book of Acts. If you will join us in the next few weeks, we'll be looking at really the life of Peter. And Peter was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus who happened to be very passionate about what he was doing. In fact, Jesus had one mandate to him. It was to go out there and to make disciples. But the thing is, if you talk about making disciples, it entails one thing. It entails us preaching the gospel. You cannot make disciples without preaching the gospel. You cannot engage the world without preaching the gospel to them. You might be the best person you can be in the workplace. You can represent God in the most honorable way, but you're not as effective as much, not until you preach the gospel. And this is the mandate that Peter had to preach the gospel. And our passage for this afternoon is found in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. It says there, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with his power, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now, if there was a mandate that Jesus gave Peter, it was to preach the gospel to all nations. Can everybody say that? All nations. That includes those people from Pakistan. That includes our Korean friends. That includes our Buddhist, Hindu, and Muslim friends out there. But the thing is, Peter here, if you'll try to look at it in its historical context, in his time when Jesus gave this mandate to preach the gospel to all nations, he was but limited to his culture. In fact, in the Old Testament, there were only two types of people in the world. If today we have a lot of categories when it comes to people, but in his time, there were only two types of people. There were the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews happened to be the descendants of the Israelite, the mighty nation. Perhaps if you're someone who loves history, the Jews before, in the time of Peter, they were a mighty nation. They were a mighty race because they were God's chosen people. They constitute around 10% of the world's population. I mean, there were so many. But if you'll try to look at it recently, in contemporary times, they would fall, I think, under a quarter of a percentage. I mean, they don't measure that much anymore. But in the time of Peter, there were too many and they considered themselves a mighty race. And Peter was on the other side of the coin. We are Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, that means you are a Gentile. The Gentile world out there are the non-Jews. And Peter here comes from a Jewish background. And in this passage, we actually looked that there was something that hindered Peter from preaching the gospel out there, and that was him being in the Jewish community. The Jews despise other races. Now, if you happen to be an American back then, the Jews would despise you because the gospel has not been preached yet to all the world. That means the promises of God was funneled down to his people, to the Jews on those particular time. They don't believe in intermarrying because they believe that their nation is holy, that they don't allow other nations to intermarry with their folks and to defile their bloodline. They don't allow this and that to have negotiations with the Israelites and the non-Jews to not defile their bloodline. And Peter was here. There was a boundary. If Peter was here and these were the non-Jews, there was a boundary, and that was the law of Moses. The law of Moses was their boundary for Peter not to preach the gospel to the Jews. However, if you'll try to look at it, the mandate to preach the gospel was for all the nations of the world. And Peter here was quite selective because he understands that Jewish customs, or him being a Jew, is quite a superior race. He was quite selective. He was a mighty preacher, yes, but he only preached to the Jews. If you happen to know the different disciples of Jesus, John was the beloved one. He was Jesus' favorite. And Peter here was the bold one. He was Simon, and Jesus happened to call him Peter, Peter the rock, Peter the strong, Peter the bold. And this gives us a picture that when Peter preaches, he preaches powerfully and boldly. But the thing is, he was limited. He was limited in the calling that he had. He was selective. He was confined with the culture and religion where he is currently at. Now, some of us here, perhaps we are quite selective. If you happen to taste a donut, or if you happen to have a box of donut in the house, if your relatives go to Cebu or Manila and then they bring you a box of donut, of course, naturally, we are selective. We always pick up the best one, the most chocolatey one, or the sweetest one that we can get, or the most tasty. That would actually suit our taste. It's just like we're naturally selective. If we happen to preach the gospel to the lost, we are often selective. I don't want to preach the gospel to this guy right here because he's too intelligent. Or I don't want to preach this gospel to this friend right here because he's too rich. I'm just on this level. He's on this level. We're quite selective. We're like Peter right there. Believe it or not, we have our own barrier of insecurity. That it won't go across the line because this is my limitation. Peter, in the same way, was bound within his cultural and religious mindset. But something happened. Because Peter had a worldwide calling, God intervened. One day, Peter had a vision. It says here in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. One day, he had a vision. The next day, they were on their journey and approaching the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord. for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time and said, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up to heaven again. Now, Peter there was preaching the gospel from the first chapter of Acts up until the 10th chapter. He was boldly preaching the gospel to the Jewish community. But one day, Peter saw this kind of vision. And what does that mean? If you try to look at it, those are the animals that the Jewish customs would prohibit you from eating. And God was like saying, all right, Peter, here are the animals. Kill and eat. What did Peter do? Peter said, no, my Lord. I will never touch anything that is unclean. But God simply responded and told him, hey, don't ever call unclean what God has made clean. Don't call ever uncommon what God has made common. God is simply breaking into the cultural barrier. God is simply breaking into the cultural bias and the religious bias of Peter right there. God is like simply telling Peter that, Peter, hey, the gospel is not just for you. The gospel is not just for your community. The gospel is for everyone. God is simply telling Peter that Jesus did not just die for your community. Jesus died for the world out there. And we ought to preach the gospel to the world. We ought to preach the gospel to the world. Salvation is for everyone. And what sometimes we try to look at what we have. We try to look at our current situation. And sometimes we let it dictate our limitation. I tell you, as a Christian, do not ever let your current situation dictate your ability to preach the gospel. Wherever you are right now, whatever you are doing, don't let that be a hindrance for you not to preach the gospel. Because why? You're missing a lot of things. You're missing the calling that you have. If you're from this university and you think your university doesn't measure up, and then you'd want to preach the gospel to the city out there, but you can't reach out to another university because you're just here, don't ever limit that. Because your calling is for the world. If you're poor, you don't ever think that you can't minister to the rich. If you're just an employee, don't ever think that you can't minister to your boss right there. Because your boss also need the gospel. Your friends also need the gospel. We ought not to be selective. We ought not to stay in our comfort zone. And because we think we're Filipinos, we ought to be bound by this nation. But I tell you, every time I read God's word, every time I read the Bible tells me to preach the gospel to the nations out there. This gives me a picture that we are a Christian with a worldwide platform. That you are a Christian with a worldwide platform. Can you tell that to your CV? You are a Christian with a worldwide platform. That's the reason why we have 10 days mission trips. That's the reason why we send people to the nations in the world. That's the reason why we have cross-cultural missionaries. That's the reason why we send people as missionaries, as tent makers to the nations. Because our calling is worldwide. We are a global church. We are a global church. Our God is the God of the universe, the God of the world. And He's calling us to make disciples there. Because the gospel has power. The gospel transcends generation. The gospel transcends barriers. Whatever barrier you're thinking right now, the gospel can penetrate that and transcend that. If you think you're just a Filipino, if you think you're just poor, if you think you're just an employee, if you think you're just young, the gospel can penetrate that and transcends barriers. Because the gospel is for everyone. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. Peter only became a world changer the moment he stepped out of his comfort zone. There are great things that are waiting for us if we step out of our comfort zone. Peter was so preoccupied with where he was. But the moment he went out of his comfort zone, the moment when he went out of his own race, that's the time. That was the time that he preached the gospel to a multitude. Speaking of world changer, we are world changers. However, we start one person at a time. We start one campus at a time. We start one company at a time. We start one brother at a time, one family member at a time. If we want to reach the city out there, it has to come from us. We ought to preach the gospel to the lost. We ought not to disqualify ourselves from preaching the gospel, even to those people who intimidate us. In your one-to-ones, I don't know if this is just me, but in your one-to-ones, if the person that you're doing one-to-one with is quite too famous or quite rich or quite a know-it-all or too intelligent, you try to get intimidated. How will I preach the gospel to this person if this person knows it all? I mean, how can I preach the gospel to this person if this person looks down at me because I am poor? Whatever it is that you would label yourself with. You know what? Our confidence in preaching the gospel is not on the messenger, but on the power of the message. Our confidence as Christians is in the message of the gospel and not on the messenger. That's why we ought to preach the gospel even if we are intimidated with those people. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Greeks. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Our job is to preach. It is God's job to change lives. If we think, I don't want to preach or to plant seeds on this person because I might not be effective, I tell you, the power of the message lies on it. The power of the gospel lies on the message of reconciliation. If you plant the seeds of the gospel to the person, that's just your job. It's God's job. Will change the lives of the person and would make that person repentant before God. The second point I would want to let us understand is that the gospel has to be proclaimed. The gospel has to be proclaimed. We ought not just to think about it. We ought not just to read about it and know about it. It has to be proclaimed. If you try to look at your Bible, the gospel is not shared. It is proclaimed. What is proclaimed? To proclaim means to speak in public. To proclaim means to speak it out with words. Why is that so? Because the Bible tells us that there is power in words. There is power in your words. There is power in your tongue. The Bible says, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's the reason why we don't curse. That's the reason why we don't speak ill against our families, against ourselves. You know what? Sometimes if something bad happens to us, we speak ill, we curse. You know what? There's power in words. If you try to punch a person, just try it. If you try to punch a person, that's going to hurt him for quite a while. Perhaps a few days, a few weeks. But 5 years from now, he'll forget that he punched you. But words are powerful. Speak curse against someone, and that curse will haunt him for the rest of his life. The reason why there's too much bitterness in the world, because too much curses coming out from the tongue. There's power in the words that we speak. That's the reason why we ought to preach the gospel. That's the reason why we preach the gospel towards our situation. If we think we are bound, if we think we are on a dead end, we ought to preach life to it and not curse. If we think that we are failing, if we think that we can't do it, we ought to speak the gospel over every situation in our life. Because every time the gospel is preached, something happens. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering sight to the blind and set at liberty those who are oppressed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Bible is clear. The moment the gospel is preached, something happens. If the gospel is preached, people are set free. For some reason, if you try to look at the New Testament, every single time Jesus preaches the gospel, the blind can see, the lame can walk. Every single time the gospel is preached, something miraculous happens. Because it's of the Spirit. It's not of the physical, it's of the Spirit. When Peter proclaimed the gospel at Pentecost, we preached the gospel to, at Pentecost, 3,000 people were added to the church. That was how bold he was. And he was still preaching in the Jewish community. When he preached the gospel, it says there in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and so did John, and said, 'Look at us,' he told the beggar. And he fixed his attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." The miraculous happens when the gospel is preached. Whatever barrier you think, whatever obstacle you're thinking right now, the moment the gospel is preached, the miraculous happens. The miraculous happens. That's why we ought to preach the gospel to the nations out there. We ought to tell them how much God has done for them. We ought to tell them how much God loves them. Because if there's one reality that is undeniable, if there's one reality that's irrefutable, it's that this world that we are living is a hurting world. There's too much pain and suffering in the world. If you'll try to go to the hospitals, you'll see that. If you'll try to look at the cemeteries, you'll see the pain and suffering of the world. You'll see bitterness. You'll see hopelessness. You'll see pain and suffering. What the world needs right now, what the world needs is hope. What the world needs amidst pain and suffering is what we call hope. And this hope only happens to come from the gospel of Christ. This hope only happens from the gospel of Christ. The hope that we profess as Christians. That yes, there is pain and suffering in the world, but we understand that this light and momentary trouble spares us from an eternal glory that awaits us. That there is much greater glory that awaits us beyond our current struggle. And this is what the world needs to hear. This is what the world that has been blundered by pain and suffering. Our goal as Christians is for the hurting world to have their full joy and find comfort and joy and meaning in the hope of the gospel. Because at the end of the day, they ought to hear. That's why we speak it, because they ought to hear. The Bible says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If you know the gospel, but don't tell it to people, nothing's going to happen. If you're just sitting right here and claiming, yes, it's good to claim every single blessing in Christ, but if we have an antidote for something that the world needs, if we have the cure to something that the world needs, we ought to tell it to them. We ought to preach it with all our lives. And this is the mandate that we have. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The third point I would want to share is that the good news, or the gospel, is the good news that in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. The gospel is the good news that in Christ Jesus, we are forgiven. You know what the heart of the gospel is? The central message of the gospel is forgiveness. If you'll come to think of it, what the world needs right now is an understanding that amidst whatever it is that they have done in their life, they are forgiven. I mean, who doesn't want forgiveness? If you happen to come across a conflict between you and your parents, between you and your brother, who doesn't want forgiveness? The Bible says before Jesus, before we happened to meet Christ, our disposition was in utmost rebellion against God. Before Jesus Christ came, our disposition, we are enemies of the living God. That means our complete being, our inclinations, our motivations, our motives are completely against Him. That means every word that we've uttered, everything that we've thought, are completely against Him. Romans chapter 3, verses 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes the person whom you think is the most holy. That includes the person whom you think does not need the gospel. That includes the person whom you think is too rich to come here, is too famous to hear the gospel, is too proud to even hear the message of the gospel. The Bible says everyone has sinned. But take note, Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love in this, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the gospel that they need to hear. That amidst them, amidst their darkest moments, amidst pain and suffering, amidst their sin, amidst them going against God, God loves them the same. The reason why we're here, the reason why we have a relationship with God, the reason why we praise and worship God is because we know the love, the unfathomable love that He has for us. That although we sin, although we have sinned, He still loves us the same. That we come across, that we go into the throne of grace confident. Confident not confident on ourselves, but confident on what He has done for us 2,000 years ago. If there is one thing that the hurting world needs, it's the hope. And this hope is not just theory. Hope is a person. Hope is a person in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person of the bread of life. The reason why that we ought not to be hungry spiritually again. Because we have the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What is He talking about? This heart of ours is insatiable. This heart of ours is void and empty. The same way with theirs. If you try to meet a person out there, whether he is on this level in society or in this, their heart remains void. Their heart remains insatiable. That's the reason why they ought to be hungry again and again. Jumping from this relationship to another. Jumping from this career to another. There's just an insatiable hunger in them. But Jesus is offering them the bread of life. That in Him, they'll never thirst again. In Him, we get our greatest satisfaction. That in times that we are down, we look to Him. In times that we are down, the Bible says, He is the lifter of our head. He is our shield. He is our glory. Saint Augustine of Hippo said, without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. This gives us a picture that yes, we are called to reach out to our friends. But God can only change hearts if we participate. If we go out there in obedience, in complete obedience to the call and the mandate to preach the gospel to the world. Let me pray for you.